It's not complicated. Call it creative. Call it art. Call it design. It's the Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
I'm really excited today. I can tell by the way you just jumped out of the producer's chair.
Right.
That came in hot on the mic.
It's my bad.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday. You're listening to the Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano, brought to you by Laser Electric and Supply. Make sure you check them out. So I'm really amped, but I'm not over amped. I'm just letting you know that right now.
Can I go back and say something about Laser Electric and
Supply?
Oh, yeah,
sure. Absolutely.
I am likely about to become a huge customer of theirs.
Good.
Because I feel like I'm going to be able to find the right
what you need.
Pieces yeah. for what my house is, mm-hmm. you know, because while we do, well, obviously we're upgrading, there are some parts of it that I want to look vintage or whatever. And so,
which actually is hard to find these days.
It is.
Or it can be harder to find. Yeah.
And so I feel like they have some things that I will be able to, you know, bring into mm-hmm. the whole thing. So I have a lot of room these days.
Whenever you can find a resource that I think will come through for you, stick with it.
Yeah,
right.
I think
it's interesting. I was noticing, this is not on topic for you know my show today, which I'll get to that topic in a minute. I know you're all at the edge of your seats wondering what I'm going to talk about today.
I am.
I was seeing some absolute nonsense come my way on social media about, you know, the resurgence of neutral. And I was like, oh,
ew,
my gosh.
Please,
like,
no.
Yes, in the right setting, I understand the celebration of, you know, neutral and texture and all of those things. And I'm on board. You gotta do it right.
Are you though?
It's just not done well most of the time. It's done with an air and a blanket of safety, no pun intended.
Well, exactly.
It's done with a blanket of safety that just from a visual and an artistic and an interest perspective seems to not be as warm as I think everyone is claiming it to be.
Don't you think that people do it out of a sense of practicality too? Because they're like, okay, well, if we do this in neutrals, I can change all of these accessories to make, you know, and not do a whole remodel. And so they're just thinking.
Yeah, I think there's an easy button to it.
Exactly.
I think there can be an easy button to it that I think is not great.
Right.
I also think that there's just a formula that kind of works because there's less complexities.
Right.
So therefore, it is not only easier, but it just requires less time mm-hmm. and a little less thought sometimes. And listen, I know that there are design professionals out there that are like, no, neutrals can be incredibly sophisticated. And you're not. You're not wrong, but that's the minority of spaces because
right.
in order to do minimal well, you actually have to really do the research on texture and coordination in a way that highlights the subtleties, or else it gets like just creamy muddy.
Right. I was going to say,
you know,
it's just a blur.
Like, it just becomes, you know, coffee or becomes a mocha. You
right.
know what I mean? Like with extra cream. It's just, you know what I mean? Like you lose some of the punch.
Yeah, there has to be something that catches your eye.
And they're like, well, the whole idea is no punch. It's like,
no.
Yeah, I mean, yes, but not at the sacrifice of interest, right? So
well, yeah.
I don't know. It's just, you know, subtlety can sometimes be really hard to pull off with that look. And to see that sort of be foisted as like, you know, sharp color and dramatic color is out. It's like, no, like not at all. In fact, I think I said a few shows ago, anything goes is kind of like right now where the design industry is at. Like it's almost like there isn't a trend.
Mm-hmm.
There is like, because there are so many resources and so many designers, architects and builders doing such interesting work and different work. It's almost like if you're formulaic now, you're like, been there. You know, it's basic.
Right.
You know, as the kids like to say. It's just looking basic, right? It's just looking like you've seen it, done it, been there. And if anything, in the space that I sit in at the Design Coach, nothing could be more boring or further from the truth. There's so many great resources to explore with the right percentage of color and the right percentage of neutral and the right percentage of minimalism and maximalism that it's just too interesting of a space to dive into telling me what's in or out.
Don't you think there's so much though that there's a trick to not being overwhelmed by it?
I think it's clickbait right now. I just think that, you know, how do you talk about personal spaces and how do you talk about experiences? And there's my segue, Nancy. My segue in today's show is the anatomy of an experience, and specifically the anatomy of an event or a party. You know, one of the things that I will talk about as we, you know, sort of move throughout the course of the show is these pillars and these components to like great entertaining. And what makes for a great moment, and what are some of the things people miss on, and what do we try not to miss on at the Design Coach? I mean, we are coming off of the start of what is in essence the summer season here in the Geneva Lakes area, which is, you know, for those of you who don't know, you know, the Geneva Lakes area has multiple lakes in the region, and it's where Chicago ends, and a lot of people come to summer, and summer is a sport. And the first week in June, after the mayflies kind of die down, people like to think it's Memorial Day. It's really not. It's more like June is when it starts to, you know, like really heat up, partly because the weather's a little bit warmer. May can be a little bit dicey, but also it's not quite as buggy yet.
Right.
And you're getting some beautiful weather like we got this week. You know, you're getting that 75 degree, no bug, low wind evening in June a lot.
Right.
That makes it great. And by the time July 4th hits, you're revved up, right?
Yeah.
And so the reason I mention this is because this this mindset of maximizing the summer season is really top of mind here in the Midwest. I mean, obviously, because of the way that our seasons fluctuate so greatly and unpredictably.
Right.
That, you know, you have to maximize the summer season, and that comes with summer entertaining outside, right? I mean, one of the things that people do is they're hesitant to entertain inside because sometimes their space just isn't what they feel like they need it to be. I've been there. I'm there. You know, like right now I'm not entertaining at my house because I'm under construction, right? but as Julie would call it, pre-construction, because we're kind of getting to this phase. But, you know, there are definitely, you know, there's a little bit of a house like, okay, I'm not really ready to have company. Right. There could be that. And then there's also like, I don't know if I can accommodate the amount of people that I really want to invite. And I don't know if I have the exterior space to accommodate that. That you know, there's obviously physical limitations to why people don't entertain. I get that. That is not where we live at the Design Coach. You know, on the lifestyle side of things, we have an entirely separate business unit dedicated to helping our clients experience the home, maximize the experience in and outside of the home. And we happen to be doing it in some of the most beautiful locations. And one of those locations is right here in the Midwest on Geneva Lake.
Mm-hmm.
This week we had a private gathering for a client that we were asked to steward. And we didn't cook the meals, right? We assemble it. We act as a soft in an advisory role. And we help in collaboration with the host and hostess to craft an event unlike other event. I think we're not, because we don't sell this service as event planning. Like, just to make it clear, you cannot hire the Design Coach to just run your event.
Right.
Like, that's not what we do. We do it for our clients as a business unit within our decoration and our design build. The helping our clients then maximize the experience is what this business unit's really dedicated to doing. And
Doesn't it in
it's so
part,
fun to do.
Right. And doesn't it in part train them to use the space far more effectively than what they would if you just said, okay, the project is done and it's gorgeous and it's beautiful and it's everything you wanted. I mean, it's just that it's like 10 steps additional in making it your own.
I will tell you the two things that it does do. It does absolutely allow the client to maximize the entire home.
Right.
To be able to use it for max benefit to create an experience. That's awesome. Those things are awesome. You know, no room goes unused.
Right.
Let's just say that, which is great, right? The worst thing in my world is unused square footage. If you have unused square footage, it's not designed properly or no one's showing you how to use it.
Right.
And I know that sounds crazy. Like, what do you mean? How to use my home? Do you know how many times I walk into a space and clients they just don't know how to use what they've purchased?
Mm-hmm.
Especially when the house is pretty big.
Right.
You know, it's like, well, I don't even know what to use that room for. Well, let's talk about how to utilize it.
Right.
What can it do for you? And how can it elevate your living experience? I mean, in the final analysis, isn't that what we do with the Design Coaches? We're trying to design to elevate people in the way that they live, Yeah. You know, like your house should serve you. You shouldn't serve your home. And so, you know, as we, it does that. And then the second thing that it does, it actually puts our designs to the test.
Right.
It actually, remember, when I'm designing with my teams and I'm designing these spaces, I'm trying to figure out the current needs and the future aspirations that I hope come true for the client in the form of max enjoyment. And that means sharing it.
Right.
I will say that the one thing that is common is max enjoyment of a home doesn't come from stingy, like, solitude.
No.
I've never really seen that calculus work because it's a little lonely.
Well, if you've done
and
all
the connections
of this,
that are made from the from being in a great environment and creating a great experience are, I think, what make it makes it's a very enriching part of.
Right.
It should be. So entertaining, although a burden, which we're going to talk about, and making it less of a burden or no burden at all, I think that also keeps people away. But it puts our designs to the test, and I love it because, you know, I learn and the team learns through actual, like, setup, how we do it, right? Like, did the space function the way that we had anticipated? And I have to say, like, I'm giving ourselves a pretty high grade. Right, I'm giving ourselves a pretty high grade for that.
Good.
Because I know that we're synced. What we're promising in the design, we're then helping the clients manifest in the experience.
Right.
That's our whole model.
That's the point. Right.
It's our whole model. And we understand that that may come with limited scalability. We understand that it comes with really having to try to find the right people who have the right service and creative mindset to pull that off. We understand that this is a very different model within the industry. It just seems intuitive to us to help our clients further define the concept of home after we've designed it. When we come back from the break, what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about the anatomy of an experience, an event, or a party from the design coach's perspective, where people miss and maybe where we can help you hit the mark. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. We're talking about the anatomy of an event, a party, or an experience on today's program, specifically because this lifestyle team that I've got right now is dialed in. They are just dialed in. And I've said this openly. This was not the plan.
Right.
I didn't 25 plus years ago when Julie and I were like, okay, this is kind of what I'm going to embark on, and how does this affect our family, and how is this going to work? The plan wasn't a full service interior design build and lifestyle support firm. In fact, those are three businesses.
That doesn't even exist until you came along.
Yeah, I mean,
so you could not have planned.
I hope it does, because I feel like there's a lot of design firms out there who feel the same way that I felt. You know, like the relationship ended
right
after the sofa was delivered, the drapery was installed, and the house was set up. It was like, have fun.
Okay, bye.
You know, it's like, call me when you got another project. And it's like, and you build too strong of a bond during the creative work that you're doing.
Or you should.
Well, or you should, yeah.
Right.
Okay, that's a good point. Yeah. Or you should.
You should.
And that's where I feel like this lifestyle team right now that is, I mean, talk about high performance people. Like, I really believe it's the right calculus, because I've got all of these individuals that are associated with this business unit that all have in the amalgams. In other words, all three of them put together have the right skill set, because to try to find the one skill set in one or two people to handle all of the things we handle just isn't out there, because it's everything from the home maintenance, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to home cleaning, to experience creation.
Right.
And, you know, listen, we've been the beneficiary of knowing that doing an event for a client the right way, with the right amount of planning and the right amount of scale and investment, creates memories and moments that make that house a home beyond the design.
And isn't that why you put the time and effort into it?
Like the SEC, it means more.
Right.
I'm sorry. It just, and listen, if the knock is we're not a specialist in any one of those areas, decoration or design, I'll challenge you on that all day long. I'm sorry.
That's not right.
That's not right. Yeah. We were experts on that long before we started the lifestyle division.
Right.
The lifestyle division is just the kicker, right?
Cherry on the sundae.
Yeah. It's where we get to layer on the love, to be quite candid with you, mm-hmm. because the service that we provide is done from heart and head combination. And that's kind of where I want our conversation to go this morning about the anatomy of an event, an experience, or a party. Is you've got to take it from the perspective of heart and head, which means you need to be smart about it, but it needs to be genuine.
Right.
You know, when parties and events feel obligatory, this is where the holidays come in. You know, when you go to your, I don't know, respective places for the holidays.
Right.
People dread it because it just feels obligatory.
Right.
So, yeah. Right? And what makes it feel obligatory is the lack of heart and emotion.
Right.
You know, listen, it might be so regimented that it's like, well, we go to mom's at 3 and then we go to dad's at 4 and then we go to here at 7 and then we do this and we do that. Like, it can be very heady. That's not good either.
It's just
because overstructure is way too rigid for the organic experience of a great party, which we'll talk about. There can be a tendency to overstructure on the part of event planners.
And isn't that just like the most stressful thing? Because if that's how you see things, that it has to be structured like down to the minute, down to the 5 minutes, when one little thing goes wrong, that is very hard to get past to continue on with at the level of excitement that you are wanting to impose on people.
There's a trust level that you have to have in the planning you've done, the environment you've created,
mm-hmm.
and the peripheral experiences, meaning food, beverage, right, atmosphere, right. Music. Like, there has to be a confidence level there. And then the organic nature of an experience has to remain just that.
Right.
Almost like I'm orchestrated emotional chaos.
Right.
Like, just want random. You want random introductions and random hugs and random handshakes and random smiles. You know, if you try to manufacture that on too great a scale or to too deliberate an approach, you lose the nature of just being human.
Spontaneity.
And connecting.
Right, right.
And I think that's the nature with any process. It's almost like a micromanager in a job. It's like, well, I can't be free to make a mistake or have a random encounter if you're structuring my day to that level of task and oversight.
Right.
Parties are very much the same way. Now, the reverse side of that is putting in no effort, right?
Right.
And having it just be like a gathering or a get together, which on some level I think is nice. But, it's funny. It's not the way it used to be where, you know the comedian Sebastian Maniscalco?
Yes.
Okay. And he does that thing about the doorbell ringing. Have you seen that joke?
Yes.
Where like when the doorbell rang in the 70s, it was called company.
Right.
And you were happy to see the people because company stopped by on a whim. And that, then he jokes about like now when somebody calls, you hit the floor and you find out like who called, right? And you have to call from the driveway. Can we approach? You know what I mean? Like it's just it's so much more of a cynical.
That's true.
In some ways, approach to sort of gathering that everything needs to be done by invite, because the art of entertaining last minute isn't really a thing anymore. He talks in that whole sketch about the Sara Lee Entenmann's cake that your mom would have in the freezer
just in case
company came over. And my mom would literally say, don't eat that.
Mm-hmm.
That's for company. And you're like, well, when is this magical company coming over?
Right.
It didn't matter. It was
cake.
It was that there was a mindset to be prepared to entertain.
Right.
There is something so romantic and so great about that. And I'm so thankful that I was raised in that era, because it's different now. Mm-hmm. What I'm hoping is that some of the conversation we're going to have today gets us back to that. Like, gets us kind of back to being able to not be burdened, put out, or caught off guard. And I'm not saying you have to have a, you know, a five-piece orchestra, like, sitting in your back hallway to greet people at the door.
So I can get
like,
rid
of
them?
I'm not saying it needs, right. You know, I'm being facetious, obviously. But I'm not saying that you need to be so prepared, right? But there is something about, especially in the lake experiences and the vacation homes that we do, where spontaneous gatherings and parties, you need to be ready or else you don't maximize the season.
Right.
Right? And I don't care if it's the winter season in Captiva, right? Or the spring or the summer season here in Lake Geneva, or even football season or any season for that matter.
Right.
There's a level of preparation. So we'll touch on that a little bit as we move through. I want to start with planning. I feel like this is all of a sudden it's like, I got to plan this party. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, if from the inception of the doing of it, you're not bringing any fun to it, you shouldn't be hosting it.
Right. Do you really want to
I'm sorry.
The party? Right.
If you're... I mean, we recently threw an engagement party for a client of ours, mm-hmm. for an extended family member. And they were trying to find a venue to get everyone together to do this thing. And the clients graciously agreed to have it at their home.
Right.
How great was that? So, in other words, the client invited a family member to say, we can do it here. This will be special.
Yeah.
And we can get everybody here and we can sleep everybody and it'll be fun. In other words, the impetus is already there to want to provide an experience.
Right.
Guys... If you're not, if you don't really want to host it,
don't.
Because
it's very obvious.
Because it's very obvious that you're just doing it.
Right.
You know, like suggest a pivot or maybe have the conversation even like why you don't feel that way.
Yeah.
like because if the authenticity isn't there from the beginning, the love, the joy of wanting to share an experience together. It's doomed from the start on a some level. In other words, you're already starting with a percentage of success that is less than amazing.
Right.
Life's too short, and this is a friend of ours. Life's too short to drink bad alcohol and bad spirits.
Yeah.
Life's too short to have bad moments, especially the ones that you're planning. So this goes back to my subpar holiday. If it's too obligatory... It's not fun. You got to reinvent it.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes the best parties are the ones that kind of happen organically within some invitation and structure, but are allowed to just morph with the complexion of the host and hostess and those invited to the party.
Right.
You just got to let it go. Sometimes you just got to let it go. Now, does it mean you have to let it go out of control? I don't know. Depends. Depends on your level of tolerance for that. Right? I mean, listen, many an Easter, or at least one Easter, I pulled out a margarita machine and I made, you know, pastel colored margaritas and it got a little out of hand and it was Easter. Okay. But Jesus was risen and we were all pretty happy about it.
So but did it though? Right. Like, was it really out of hand?
No, it wasn't.
I mean, that's
but
a
it,
great
it,
celebration.
Okay. But the day after, because we did Holy Saturday. You know, the day after Easter Sunday, we were looking around. It looked a little bit like a fraternity after hours.
Yikes.
I had to mop up the floor. Your shoes were sticking to it. But maybe that's a sign of a great party. Like,
right.
And I can honestly say everyone had a lot of fun.
No regrets.
And it's something we remember. We busted out this margarita machine.
Right.
On Easter. Right. And the food was good. And the company was good. And we had a great time together. And mm-hmm. I think that's the lasting memory, not the cleanup. Not the amount of money you spent.
Not the planning.
Not the planning. Not
right.
any of that
None
stuff,
of
right? And so I want to start with this concept of planning. I don't want you to overplan. But what I do want you to do is I do think themes are fun. Now, before you roll your eyes at themes.
I love themes.
I know you do.
I have to have a theme.
It can be a soft theme. I'm going to give you an example. This last party that we threw this past week was, the title was A Welcome Back to the Lake. For the neighbors of the area,
mm-hmm.
where they wanted to talk about a number of different things that would be affecting their area, but it wasn't a theme like a costume, okay?
Right?
Like
no.
dress as a pirate, like it was nothing like You know what I mean? Like, dress as your friend. Like, there was nothing like that. And I'm not saying those parties aren't fun. They are. In fact, they inherently bring something. Like, the one is like the one that I've seen is the dirty t-shirt party.
Oh, yeah?
Like, that's where you wear like an off.
Oh,
like a really like, you know, risque t-shirt. And I don't mean funny. In cut. I mean in like verbiage.
Right.
Right. Or funny t-shirt.
Right.
Barbecue or whatever it is. There are a number of different things. This was Handshake at the Lake.
Cool.
You know, because it was like, it should have been called Hugs and Handshakes at the Lake. Right.
Aww.
But it was just a welcome back. And so that was the example of a theme that's a soft theme. I think if you're not having a soft theme. Now, listen, the holidays inherently give you one.
Of course.
Which is easy. That's an easy plug-in. But. It also speaks, the theme should speak to the spirit of the event, provided it's not a surprise, right? We'll talk about that too, but it should speak to what you want the outcome to be, which is to meet people. I mean, I say Handshake at the Lake, you think greeting, you think togetherness, you think people you haven't met, right? First time introductions. That's exactly what this event was designed to do. So by proper planning, you do need a soft theme. You got to wrap it in something.
Right.
You can't just say, come over on the 27th.
Well, right? Yeah, there's no incentive. I mean, and I don't want to say there's no incentive, but it adds incentive.
And it adds intrigue.
Right.
See, it means you've thought about it from the beginning. In other words, a theme allows you to lead the planning with a construct of intentionality. The intentionality is, I want to meet you. Maybe we haven't met. Maybe we live in the same neighborhood, but I haven't seen you at all, or I just see you in passing. The intentionality with the theme and the planning, when we come back from the break, what I'm going to talk about is how that plays out throughout the rest of the trajectory from planning to execution. We're talking about the anatomy of an event, an experience, and a party. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. This is my new sound effect. I was told not to cut my hands, but because this is the only sound effects I'm allowed on the show, I'm going to do this. Okay. Is that great? Look at this. Welcome back for segment three, as I was reminded.
It is not great.
Anyway, welcome back. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. And we're talking about the anatomy of an experience, a party, right? And an event. So we talked in the previous segment about the intentionality of a soft theme. Just like, hey, why are we getting together? The theme can just be, why are we getting together?
Right.
Right. I mean, in some cases, the theme can be like, miss you.
Right.
Haven't seen you in a while.
Right.
And then your guest list is curated with people you haven't talked to in a while.
Right.
Right. We'll talk about the curation of the list in a minute. But this planning, you got to remember that the proper planning reduces stress. So you start with the bigs. The first thing you have to decide in the planning of a party is what role you want to play as the doer.
Right.
How much do you want to do?
Right.
Where I've seen this go wrong is people try to save money at the expense of their enjoyment of the event they're planning. And they end up stressing themselves out to the point where they didn't really even enjoy the event.
Right. And so what's the point? I mean, you should be enjoying it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should.
Yeah.
And that means getting help. Now, that's where we come in for our clients on the TDC side. We set up the chef in this instance. We set up, we help with the music if need be. We help with all of the menus that are then placed around so people understand how to move through the event. Also, right. The cocktail menu, which is very popular at our events, right? Like, you know, and what does that planning look like? And the planning is, when do I want it to really begin? When do I want it to start? What do I want that first experience to look like? What elements do I want to support the event? Not how I want the event to run. You'll get to timing in a minute.
Okay.
You have to put the components in place if I need someone to do some of the doing. And it could be something as simple as hiring, let's say you're doing an outside barbecue and you're not grilling, you have a grill master.
Right.
Or if you are grilling or you are the doer and the host and hostess, what support do you have?
Right.
See, this whole playing the victim of I did the party and I did it all myself and I'm exhausted and I don't want to entertain, that's on you.
Right.
That's on you. If you're not smart enough to get enough help,
right,
and then you want to complain about it, Listen.
Then you shouldn't have the party.
Yeah, no. Check your narcissism at the door, because I have no time for you to play the victim for an event that you're putting on that maybe you didn't even really want to put on.
Right.
That you shouldn't have done it in the first place.
Right. You have choices.
But then don't say you really want to do it and then complain about being the only one doing something. Like, you didn't plan it well. You didn't plan it correctly. Or you didn't plan it at all.
Right.
When we do this, we make sure that the host and hostess, if they are going to be any of the doing, has enough support. Because there are some areas the host and hostess want to play in. Like, I have people who are like, no, I want to do this grilling, but I really need help here. Okay, great. Let's give you that support. It doesn't always mean hiring someone.
Right.
It might mean doing the shopping. It could mean, like, doing some of the setup.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not staffing to the event, that's the first mistake I see people make. You are not properly planning labor. Labor. You're not. And I don't mean labor day of the party. I mean labor well before.
Right. Yeah.
I know Julie. Julie loves doing the planning and the buying prior. She's very specific about what she wants. I love that. Where I think she could use more help for me is the support during.
Right.
And we've worked this out, like, in life and in our marriage. Like, hey, I need you here. Like, I can't be in the kitchen for 3 hours and you be at the bar and we don't see each other.
Right.
So I've had to deputize people. Hey, I need you to be on the bar for a little bit. I'd like to go check on Jay. Right. I need you to, like, we're doing this balance, right? But I made that mistake too. Now on the TDC side, at the design coach side, as we begin to create these experiences, we're saying, what role do you want to play in the party? That's part of the planning, is asking the host and hostess, what role do you want to play? Well, I like to do this. I want to give a speech about this. I want to give a greeting about this. Like, I would like to be able to be freed up. I think the best thing to see is when the host and hostess don't have to run it.
Right.
They can just be the representative for the event, and they can just be themselves, but they're not sweating the details. In an ideal, that's the way it should go.
It should.
In an ideal, that's the way it should go. And if you can't, just don't do it alone.
Right.
My first advice is get the food, get the libations, get the beverages and food right. Back end it with great music, because that always helps and that always works. And then create something within that dynamic that is a little bit of a curveball. Okay? A little bit of something different.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You nail the something different that makes it special. You nail the food, the music, and the libation. You're basically like 80% home.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
But the rest of it, the 20% is the hassle. If you haven't addressed the hassle piece, the piece where you get pulled in a million directions as part of your planning, you have to address what I call staffing.
Right.
Okay? You have to.
Right.
And you've got it. You've got to figure out who you're going to do it with. And I will tell you, Nancy, it is so much more fun to do it with someone.
Of course.
Than to feel like you're the one or two people running an event.
Well, any event, fundraiser, nonprofit fundraiser, party. I mean, you have all these graduation parties right now.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a committee.
But here's the problem. People don't ask for help.
And they don't.
This
right.
is what they do. And then they like to suffer in silence, and then they get bitter about it. And then they're in a bad mood before the party, during the party. They fake it.
Right.
And then afterwards they're right. I'll never do that again.
Right.
That is, you guys, you're setting yourself up for your own failure.
Right.
If you're not planning it. So first is planning. Okay.
Also, you have to have some people in your circle that you know what their talents are or a hobby. So, for instance, if I was having a big party,
100% Nancy.
Right, I would ask you, hey, would you mind helping out behind the bar during this party and do some of your signature moves?
Or even, here, I'll do it one better. I think what I'm loving is I sort of taught Luke, my son, how to
right.
do bartending. He can take over for me.
Right.
And then now I'm going to deputize my brothers.
Ah.
Who are also my biggest customers.
Oh, well.
On the other side of the bar.
Right.
But I'm going to deputize them for these family events and be like, hey, here's the three drinks we make. Here's the recipes.
Mm-hmm.
And here's how to make them. Or, by the way, I made them in pitchers. All you have to do is add the garnish
right.
and this, and you can serve a little quicker. You don't have to think about it.
Right.
I will say to you, That's planning.
And you know what? They enjoy it.
Oh my gosh, they want to help. I think when people have the clarity, they want to be invited to help. Because there are people out there who are the guests that feel awkward that they're not helping.
Right.
Now, sometimes that's by design. Sometimes you don't want Aunt Helen.
Right.
Okay. Like getting in the mix because she'll
keep
take over.
Keep her out of the kitchen. Right.
So that's part of your staffing is to understand how to and who to.
Because Aunt Helen won't try to do it if she sees that everything is taken care of as well.
I think that's true, but I also think that if you also have it well planned enough, the reason Aunt Helen feels like she can dive in is because she's been a part of parties prior where it's not running quite well.
Right.
And then she thinks she's being helpful.
Right. And maybe Aunt Helen wants to learn how to be more efficient when she helps.
Possibly, but I will say this. I just did, so I'm going to give you guys a really classic example. I did 3 signature cocktails for this handshake at the lake.
Mm-hmm.
I made them in pitcher format. In pitchers. I thought it through. When you work in pitchers, you have to get pitchers that do not allow the ice to pour into the glass.
Correct.
I bought 4 pitchers that had an ice shield on top.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing that came through was the flavored liquid.
Right.
The reason that that's important is it made it way less messy and a lot easier for my team members to pour drinks.
Right.
So I wasn't the only bartender.
Less cleanup.
And we put together a menu. You can have beer, wine, water, soda, or these 3 signature cocktails. We had very few people go off menu.
Right.
And if they did, they knew they were going off menu with a very easy spirit. Hey, vodka soda. Hey, tequila and lime.
Right.
No special stuff. And they knew the boundaries of the invite. Does that make sense?
Right.
Because it was properly planned, but it didn't deter, because the twist was, this evening we have 3 signature drinks for you. 3 signature drinks made of the tequila, right?
Right.
And the whiskey that are our clients' favorites and their favorite summer lemonade that we serve on their pier to their family every summer called the Blue Hawaiian.
Mm-hmm.
And people were like, oh. And we made sure that they were all different spirits. Some people like vodka. Some people like tequila. Some people like whiskey. And it was great to see people actually try them and enjoy them and come back for more. And maybe they only had 1 or 2. But that was our little twist. Our little twist was we had a curated menu that people could sort of gravitate towards offerings within it. One of the most successful things I've done are these menus for the holiday parties that I have. And people love looking at the menu.
Mm-hmm.
And they are like, oh, I'll try that. And you curate it. Guys, that's part of the planning. Part of this planning is crafting the experience within some sort of boundary, but not the timing of it, and not necessarily the experience. You can't account for everyone's experience.
Well, no.
Because some people just come to the party, and they're going to be there going through the motions.
Mm-hmm.
What you can do is create enough of an organic environment so that connections are made, and the party and the planning support the connection. I'm going to say that again. The planning just supports the connection, but it shouldn't drive it. It's not a cooking class, okay?
Right.
It's not a liquor lab, okay? It's not a how-to floral arrangement. You know what I mean? Like, that's not where it's at. It's
right.
Like you have to have it so it's just about being together. And you let the natural, organic nature of human connection either succeed or fail.
Right.
Okay? If you've done it with enough good food and enough good resources, enough good people, enough good libations, you're there. But not if your intention sucks from the beginning. Okay? I'm just saying, like, if your intentionality is not there, it won't be successful. So I don't feel sorry for you if you like don't really want to do it.
Right.
That'll show.
It will.
That
it
will show.
Right.
The next thing on the list that I wanted to mention is, you know, there's this thing about entertainment. I think you got to be careful with that. I've seen a lot of entertainment go bad. You know, sometimes you don't have the right AV equipment and people can't hear if the party's too big. Bad planning. Right? Or the entertainment isn't that great. Sometimes the less structured as it relates to entertainment, especially with intimate groupings at a home, the better.
You know, I have been to events where there's maybe a guy or a girl with an acoustic guitar. And they're just supposed to be over there playing background music or whatever. But it still feels awkward sometimes, because when they're done with the song, like, you know, it's not a performance that you're standing there and you're clapping every time. It's not a concert. But yet And so it's awkward. It's but just let's change the
definition
it's awkward.
Of, but let's change the definition of entertainment. When I say entertainment, you think music.
I always
magician,
do because,
person,
right,
whatever,
I'm,
comedian,
well, music
whatever.
Is always what I'm going to think.
Why do we celebrate people's lives for their birthday at their funeral with photos?
Right.
Because we're celebrating their life, right?
Right.
One of the things that I love about what Julie does is for all the kids' birthdays, she pulls out all the retrospect of the photos of the past. In the beginning, I was like, we never did that as a family. So I was like, I was a little curmudgeon-y about it, right? And then I realized, oh my gosh, it's so cool to look back.
Right.
Entertainment can be just something visual, just some participatory nostalgic memory that's tied into your theme. Obviously, a birthday is a retrospect of someone's life. Push that forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes that thing can be handshake on the lake, right? Like this was. Push forward, right? Something that's in that theme, right?
Right.
And as long as you've come up with something fun that's interesting and different, you know, you just don't want to make it so that your theme obligates somebody to do something they wouldn't normally do. There is a curated list of guests that you know you want at that weird t-shirt party. And then there are ones where like they're never going to go for that.
Right. They're not going
to do myself a favor. Don't invite those people.
Right.
Like you have to curate the guest list. When we come back from the break in segment four, we're going to talk about the curated guest list and how you wrap up the experience altogether. Okay. We're talking about the anatomy in an event, a party, or an experience. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Welcome back, everybody, for segment four of The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1.
You're
host,
the best
Philip Sassano.
Radio eye roller ever.
When it comes to segment three and four, I just feel like I'm being pinched. But sorry, it's just the thing. Anyway, welcome back, everybody. Show today is brought to you by locally by here by Laser Electric and Supply. Make sure you check them out. And also, if you're curious, you can also hear past episodes on lake961.com and Spotify. Okay, so let's wrap this up in a bow for segment four, right? Let's talk about anatomy of an experience, an event, and a party.
Right.
We've talked about planning. We've talked about, you know, making sure that you get the big things correct. That's the food, whatever your hook is, the libations. I'm going to blend it all together here in segment four. I'm going to give you an example of what I'm talking about. The next thing on the list is you have to put care into the curation of the event. And we're not going to talk about the guest list yet.
Okay.
We're going to talk more about, regardless of the guest list, how do you engage people with an experience? Decoration is one of those things that matters because it elevates the experience to you're here for a special reason.
Okay.
We've all gone places where people have put in very little effort into something, and what does that immediately signal?
Lazy.
I don't care.
Right.
I don't really care. And then you're expected to care as the guest.
Right.
And I'm not using weddings as an example. I'm talking about entertaining on the daily and the seasonally within your home.
Right.
Okay. So you can't extrapolate this to weddings. You can't extrapolate this to retirement parties. Like those are different. You know what I mean? Those are kind of different experiences, although retirement parties, maybe not so much. But what I can say is when it comes to the immersive experience, you should be looking to create decorations matter. One of the things that we did for the surprise engagement party, it was during Valentine's Day. We took all of the lanterns from the outside of the space, brought the lanterns inside, put batteries in them, and sprinkled rose petals inside the lanterns.
Aww.
That cascaded up the stairs to the surprise. And because it was Valentine's Day, the bride-to-be had no idea. She just thought it was a fun decoration.
Right.
For the party.
Right.
But it was really cool, and it was one of those moments where it's like it was the extra effort that she'll remember, that the family remembers, where the design team took the extra effort to create the experience versus just come to my house.
And it wasn't, and that isn't just creating the experience. That is almost subliminally.
And it's no money.
Right.
It's rose petals you pull off of roses you get from anywhere.
Right.
And sprinkle them into a lantern they already owned.
Right.
I didn't buy a special decoration. What I love about the homes that we design is we try to pack them with enough assets to enjoy it every day.
Yeah.
And then to elevate them should we need them for a special event.
Sure.
And that's how we tell the clients, this is why we need this. That's why we need these cool things. Because then we don't have to go buy them down the road.
Right.
you know? The immersive experience that I'm talking about also goes past decorations of things like florals and balloons and things like that. Those are all very overt decorations. Plus, they're also expected.
Right.
Okay? Sometimes the decorations are directional. Let me explain. When you come to a party and you don't know anyone, you don't know what food is being served, maybe you have an allergy, maybe you have like, it is so helpful. We had menus at every one of our events. We have menus printed. Inexpensive to do.
Right.
Tells people what's on the menu. They can sort of search out their favorite food prior. They can look for foods maybe that they need to avoid. But it allows the guest to calibrate. What makes people feel comfortable in an event is that you've calibrated them. Why am I here? We're happy you're here. By the way, here's what you can expect. You have to have a little bit of a concierge mindset of this is what you can expect this evening.
Right.
Sometimes that can go down to an itinerary that's printed where it's like, by the way, speech at 7, dinner right. at here. It can be the perfunctory itinerary by time, but that's not very fun. Right? What's fun is how you've wrapped it.
Right.
How you've cared for it. Get yourself for any party. Learn some. Have your kid go to Canva, okay, and help you with the menu.
Yeah.
One of the things that I love about my daughter Zoe that she loves to do is she likes to throw these parties for her friends that are just for no reason.
Yeah.
It'll be like a pasta party, right? It'll be some holiday party, and she'll go all out. And it's only like 7 or 9 people or mm-hmm. whatever it is.
Yeah.
There's a menu. There's a theme. There's a whatever. And it even guests who are somewhat timid in those settings feel like, oh, this is something special and different, and I've been invited. The decoration and the direction. I'm going to say this again. The decoration and the direction in the form of a menu, in the form of something that the guests can grab onto to feel comfortable is essential. It's the part most people miss.
Right.
You know what's really interesting is when you get invited, like when you're the potential in-law or future boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, and you're meeting the parents and the extended family for the first time.
Sure.
I will tell you that there is nothing better than understanding and getting to know the family and how the family operates than looking at how much effort they put into getting together.
Yeah,
I can tell you
sense.
Right now.
Right.
It says something. It says something.
Mm-hmm.
It says something about the family. It says something about how much they care for being together. And it doesn't mean it needs to be expensive. It just needs to be thoughtful.
Right.
And that decoration can look different, and it doesn't have to have a big budget. But it has to be there. The immersion I'm talking about is making your guests feel comfortable. And that's sometimes you got to give them help there. You got to give them a calibration. One of the things that we did for this handshake on the lake is that everybody who came in, my staff greeted them because the host and hostess were busy
sure.
running around. We greeted them and said, hey, welcome. We're so glad you're here this evening. Just want to let you know, bar and the food are outside. We have three, and we went right into the calibration of the menu. Because
mm-hmm.
what do you like when you walk into a hotel? When they hand you that, like whatever that thing is, like it could be cucumber water.
Right.
Right. You go to a high-end right. hotel and it's like their signature drink. Don't you just feel like, okay, this is great.
Right. I am welcome here.
I am welcome
yes.
here. What does that initial offering look like? And sometimes it can just be the calibration. Sometimes it's a cocktail. Sometimes it's food.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But at least it's the onboarding. See, do we do that? If you're the host and hostess and you're too busy cooking, you can't onboard.
Nope.
So are you staffing to the onboarding? Are you staffing to the welcome and the calibration? Are you designating your siblings to greet people at the door? I remember my mom was very specific. Like, hey, I'm going to be busy in the kitchen. I need you to keep a lookout for, you know, Aunt Darlene and all these people who are coming and just greet them. Right. You know why? Because it's the right thing to do.
Right.
Because what it does is it calibrates the guests. Be an ambassador, people. If you're going to entertain well, you have to be an ambassador for the event, or you have to deputize ambassadors for the event.
And make sure they understand that they need to complete that ambassadorship. Not be at the door for the first half hour, and then anybody that comes after that you know, you have to maintain.
And the best ambassadors
through the whole thing.
The best ambassadors will understand their role as the event progresses. I'll give you an example. My team moved from greeters mm-hmm. to facilitators to calibrators and ambassadors in that regard.
Right.
To then clean up. Like they're like, okay, we're going to pull away drinks that are left. We're going to pull away so that the host and hostess didn't look around at this party. And what happens?
Overwhelmed.
When you start to see the garbage,
right.
When you start to see the stuff, you're like, oh my gosh, we're going to have a big cleanup. There was minimal.
Yeah.
You made it easy. You made it easy.
And something like that is not that hard.
But stop staffing your planning to the beginning of the event. You have to staff it all the way through.
Right.
Hi, guys. My expectation is, and this would be really helpful to me, can you help me on cleanup? You don't have to help on setup, but could you help me on cleanup? Like, and that's awesome. People want to be like, well, where can I be helpful? Some people don't want to do setup, or maybe they're going to get to the party later, but they'll be like, I'm here for you at the back end.
Right.
And if you're not asking for the help, you're not giving people the clarity to actually come to your aid.
Right.
I feel like that's a huge thing. Like, oh, I don't want to put anybody out. They're a guest. Some people, that makes them feel comfortable. There are some people being helpful at a party is their social coping mechanism.
Exactly. Right.
It gives them a job because maybe they're not comfortable just talking to strangers, or maybe they're just like, you know, maybe they're your young teenager who's just kind of a little awkward about it. And you're sort of teaching him or her about social grace.
Or maybe simply
task them with a job,
right?
That is like, hey, the only thing you got to worry about is the following things. Don't overcomplicate them. Don't overwhelm them.
Right.
Don't over job. Okay. Deputize.
Sometimes people are just kind, and they want to do that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, what you'll see is whether you have asked them to help or not, they will go ahead and help.
I have been asked on any number of occasions by very good clients of mine. Be like, why are you working behind the bar? You're a guest. I'm like, you don't understand. This is my offering.
Right.
Like, I bring this to the party in support of you, and I'm having a blast. I'm not making drinks because I'm burdened.
Right.
I'm making drinks because I'm trying to add to the experience the way that I would in conversation.
And you like to do that.
And I like to do it.
Right.
And so if there is something somebody likes to do and you know that they have a natural propensity for doing that, that's your staffing cue.
You take advantage of their talent. There, right. You know?
The talkie daughter, the talkie son, right?
Right.
Make them a greeter.
That's right.
Make them a greeter. You know, the one that just wants to work behind the scenes. Make them clean up plates.
Right.
Okay. Make them clear dishes. Like, you have to job appropriately. Where I think also people go wrong is they job to force people to do something because they think it's good for them.
Right.
Your party is not your practice.
Right.
Okay, that's game time, people. You want to practice social graces on it? Don't do that.
Yeah, don't parent your children at the party.
In game.
Right. That's not.
Don't parent in game. We all know how that works. I've been a coach for football players. Mm-hmm. Don't coach in game.
Nope.
You got it. Like, you can calibrate in game, but you can't fix major. You know, it's almost like going to the golf course. You got to swing with the swing. You got to play with the swing you brought.
Right.
You can't try to fix stuff on the golf course.
Nope.
Can't try to fix your kids at the party.
Right.
It's not going to work. Okay.
You
got to go off game time on
right.
that.
Usually
that'll just cause
terrible.
More frustration for
right.
everybody.
Right. Bad.
It also goes back to the host and hostess's attitude, right? Like, if you haven't done all this advanced work and you don't have the players, it's very hard to feel comfortable as a host or hostess because you're worried. I think the one thing in a great event is to take that pressure off yourself. Be kind to yourself. You know, be good to yourself by making it something where a lot of people, and many hands make light work. And I find that more than not, people want to be invited to participate in the activity
right.
of creating the experience beyond just being there. You often hear, how can I help? Don't shut that down. Don't shut that down. But sometimes the answer is mingle, right? Do me a favor. Go to the Johnsons. They don't know anyone. Please be their ambassador.
Sure.
Look for the person in the corner and bring them in. You know, sometimes that can be helpful. It's not always doing dishes and being behind the bar. It's looking for the people who are on the peripheral of the party and making them feel part of the experience. But if you're doing it from an obligatory perspective, if it's not done from the heart, it's an impossibility to do that. And please, by all means, let the party just happen. But it's going to happen a lot easier if you're well planned, you're well staffed, and your heart and your head are in the right place. Anyway, thank you for listening on this Sunday. Have a great weekend, everybody. You've been listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. You've been coached.